Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions.
Okay, well, tonight we're talking about, I just have at the top of my paper, tools, absolutes, spirit versus flesh, self-control. So we just see what we can get said in the next 40 minutes here. But there's some tools that we've been given to live this out. Because now you know why. You know why a pure life should be, right? You know what its purpose is. What's the purpose for pure life?
Follow his plan.
His plan, right? We know the purpose. We know, what else have we found out? Purpose is a whole lot to know. But we know the scripture behind it. We know his design behind it and why. We know, you know, why the world's way doesn't work. We've seen all that. Now, where the rubber meets the road, we're going to talk about how to do it. How to actually, we talked about making the choice. That was the first eight, you know, you got to do that first. And I believe y'all have already done it. Who has made a choice and you're not on the fence anymore about whether or not pure life is for you? If you've made your choice, and it's not to embarrass you either. If you hadn't made the choice, don't raise your hand so at least your parents know they still have a little praying and working with you to do. So they're not going to get mad at you if you hadn't made that choice because it's everybody's to make. I can't make it for you. So if you've really made it and you believe in your heart, I have made that choice, raise your hand. So most of you have been able to come to that place where you've made the choice. And I believe that by the time you do our ceremony, that you'll all be where you've made that choice. So once you've made the choice, know what is in your possession. Know what is on the inside of you. And know some natural things on the outside of you that are going to help you to walk it out. Okay, some tools that we've been given. One is the wisdom of God. You've been given the wisdom of God. So you know what? There's no more argument in your mind, or there should be no more argument in your mind about, well, if I don't date, how will I ever know? Or if I don't, how will I ever know that God's person is for me? And no, we trust the wisdom of the Lord. We don't trust ourselves, do we? I don't trust myself to make such a decision. Until I've heard from the Lord, then I can make a decision. Because, you know, if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're not operating on good information. Right? And so we wait for him to tell us. I want to read you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to flip some of these scriptures pretty fast here to get them all in. But this is a scripture that talks about the mystery of God. It talks about his plan. And it says here that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But without God, you have no idea what's been prepared for you. And if you have no idea what's been prepared for you in your mind, you will not be able to see it. If you don't ever find out what's been prepared, and you aren't allowing the Lord to lead you into what's been prepared, you'll never get to see what he prepared. So that's what that means. But it was to us that God revealed these things. What things? These things. He revealed the things that he prepared for us. He's not hiding them from us. For his spirit searches everything and shows us God's deep secrets. What is the deep secret? Remember, I told y'all it's those secret things that God prepared for us. It's that wonderful life that God prepared for. God holds that as a secret thing. Until, you know, have you ever heard about being on a need-to-know basis? Your parents ever said, look, you're on a need-to-know basis. That means quit asking me questions. I'll tell you when you need to know. Well, God is revealing these secret things when we need to know. Right? So he can lead us. And so it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirits. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. But we've received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. So we've been given these truths, it says, from God's spirit. And it says, this sounds foolish to them, to other people. And it's going to sound foolish to people that don't understand that you can hear from God. You know, the world, they don't even think you can hear from God. But it said those who are spiritual can evaluate these things. And it says, we understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. So we've been given the wisdom of God, and He intends, say God intends, to lead me and show me all those awesome things that He promised He prepared for me. He's not keeping them a secret forever. I'm on a need to know basis. All right. So when you need to know, He'll tell you. And they're wonderful things. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit helps us when you're weak. When you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit is there to tell you what to do. So we have the wisdom of God in any situation that you ever find yourself in. Let me just say a little bit about pressure. Because pressure is the thing that can cause you to go against the thing that you've decided to do. Whether it's pressure from your flesh. And that actually, the word lust, when the Bible uses the word lust, it just means pressure on your flesh. It could mean pressure on your flesh where, you know, the way you eat is concerned. It could mean lying to your parents. It could mean anything. A pressure on your flesh, even to not tell your parents, you know, if you did something wrong. You know what that pressure's like, don't you? That pressure on your flesh to just keep it a secret. Pressure on your flesh when you've done something you shouldn't do. You know what? That's pressure. That's lust. And so pressure, I want you to understand what to do about pressure. 100% of the time, you can stop. If you recognize pressure, you can stop and say, you know what? Because what the devil wants you to do is make a decision under pressure. But you can stop and say, no, I'm not making a decision. You start feeling pressured to not tell your parents about something. Stop right there and say, Lord, give me wisdom about this. Tell me what to do. Now, most of you probably already know what He's going to say, right? If it's about not telling your parents or you did something wrong or whatever. But the thing is, if you ask Him, you're acknowledging Him. You're saying, all right, Lord. You know, the word says no discipline is nice when you're getting it, but it helps and you're grateful for it afterwards, right? So you say, all right, Lord, tell me what to do. And you're thinking, I already know He's going to tell me. But the thing is, when He tells you, go talk to your parents. Then you've heard from God. And that begins to put pressure on your decision to do what He wants you to do. So you can turn that pressure around where it's not the devil putting pressure on you. It's you putting pressure on yourself to follow what your spirit is saying. So you give your spirit a chance to put pressure on you. And that's really what we're talking about tonight is your spirit versus your flesh. You know, you cannot fight your flesh with flesh. So many people try to make a decision and maybe they, you know, okay, I'm really going to do this. I've done that. You know how I've done that, like with eating or something. Okay, I'm not eating any more sugar. I am done with sugar. I'm not eating any more sugar. And the next thing you know you're in the M&Ms or something. And so you try to make a decision about your flesh with your flesh. It's just, that's like, you know, that's like putting the three-year-old in charge of the candy jar. They're going to be gone, whatever it is. So you don't put your flesh in charge of your flesh. You put your spirit in charge of your flesh. And the more you exercise that, the more times you let your spirit be in charge of your flesh, even over little things like that. Maybe your mom told you to make your bed and she's never going to know that you didn't do it, but you do it anyway. You let your spirit be in charge over what you wanted. You know what? The more you do that, the stronger your spirit gets. And the easier in a hard situation it'll be to do the right thing. Because you're giving your spirit, it gets used to being in charge. When your spirit gets used to being in charge, it's so much easier. But it just takes a little practice. And it takes building up. And it takes decision. But it takes using the stuff on the inside to overcome your flesh. Look at, remember I said you can't fight flesh with your flesh. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. I found some really cool things in the Word, and I'm going to just skip around here a little bit. Verse 18, he's talking about, you know, the glory that we have inside of us now. And in verse 18, it says, so all of us who've had the veil removed can see and reflect. Remember, Super Kids, we've been talking about this in Super Kid Academy, that we can see the glory and we are supposed to reflect or show the glory. And the Lord, who's the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. This is what's ahead for you guys. Being changed, so changed that you look just like Jesus to people. That's not a fairy tale. That's where we're at. You guys are going to be walking in some things. Adults are going to be following you guys in some things. I've been telling you all that for a while, haven't I? The glory of God is going to be evident. Not just your life is going to reflect good Christian values. Power is going to be in your life. You guys are going to be out there for the world to see. And it's going to be worth living your life this way. Not to mention the fact that living this way is just so much easier anyway, and it's happier and better. But he says, therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way to live, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhand methods. You've got to reject everything that the devil has to offer. You just reject it. Say no, absolute. Look down in verse 5. You see, we don't go around preaching ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And we ourselves are servants for Jesus Christ. For God said, let there be light in the darkness. And He's made that light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus. Of course, He talks about us being these clay jars that contain this great, powerful presence and this treasure. We are not preaching ourselves. I'm not talking to you about you and your flesh not doing something where you're like, okay, you know, where they say, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. You know, I'm not talking about, you do have to guard yourself like that. But you be careful not to just guard yourself like because you have a rule. You guard yourself with what's inside of you. You set guard around yourself with the light that's inside of you, with the power that's inside of you. There's a mighty power. You have everything you need to reject Satan's ideas. So don't ever feel pressured that, oh, I'm going to give in or I'm going to fall or I'm going to sin. No, you've got a great treasure in you and you can do it. Say, I can do it. I can live this great life. So, you know, when you feel pressured, look what he said here. He said in verse 8, we're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. You know what I saw about this today? We sing a song in church. It's like, you know, we sing these words in the song. And I always kind of hate to sing it because it's like, but not destroy. Yeah, press down. You know, you hate to say those things. But I think we need to dig into what he was saying here. Like, pressed on every side, but it's not affecting us. That's what he was saying. You know, it could crush us without the power on the inside of us, but it can't get to us. It tries to put pressure, and maybe the pressure's there, but we don't even feel it. Do you see what I'm saying? Or even if you feel it, it's like you just brush it. You brush it off with what's inside of you. He said, we're perplexed. What does that mean? Maybe confused. You know, something comes to you, it causes you to question. Lord, what about this? But what's your answer to it? But we're not we're not in despair. We know what to do. We're not desperate. You know what? If you don't live your life like we're told, you're going to come up on desperate moments. You're going to feel desperate. I don't care what age you are. You may feel desperate about something. Your parents might go, oh, that's a silly thing to be under pressure about. But it doesn't matter. If you let the devil put pressure on you, he'll make you feel desperate. And you'll think, I have got to do such and such. That's desperation. But he says here, whenever there's a question that comes at us, we're not desperate. We don't despair. We know we have information from on high. We operate on good information. We're hunted down, but we're not abandoned by God. So who cares? You could say, well, the devil's really after this generation. Who cares? God's right next to him. God's right with you. He's on the inside of you. You could be hunted down all day long, but if God's with you, what success does the enemy have? None. He's a loser. We're not abandoned by God. If you got knocked down, we're not destroyed. Amen? If you got knocked down and God's with you, what's he going to do? He's going to pick you up and he'll say, well, since you took one step back, I'm going to put you up four steps ahead. See, he's in charge of all the rules. He doesn't have to play by the rules. You can seem like the devil puts you in a setback and you'll turn around and you'll be so far ahead of where you were. That's God. That's the way he does things. And so we play with him, and I like the way he plays, right? It says, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. Sometimes our bodies have to share a little suffering with what Jesus did. What does that mean? Well, Jesus had to suffer in his flesh. Of course, he suffered sickness and disease, and we don't suffer that way. But our bodies have to suffer because we're going for what Jesus has. Sometimes our bodies have to suffer and not get what they want, right? And so sometimes our bodies suffer, but that's okay. It says, so that the life, what's that? The power of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus could also be seen in our bodies. If my body has to shut up and suffer a little bit so the life of Jesus could be seen out here, it's all right with me. Is it all right with you?
Yes.
Amen. So you let what's inside be glorious. And it says here in verse 15, I just found so many scriptures today. I could probably do this for 3 hours. It says, all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God is going to receive more and more glory. As you live like this, God's going to be able to reach more and more people because of what you're doing. And as you live like this, God's going to get more and more glory. Isn't that kind of fun to think that God could get glory because of something? Because we choose to let him come out of us? It says, that's why we never give up. So even when it gets hard, you never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. You know, Jeremy preached last year about the inside guy and the outside guy. You know, your outside guy may be trying to do the wrong thing, but your inside guy can be in charge. And so it's reflected. He says, you know, your bodies are, in the natural, your bodies are headed to death. But when we let the power on the inside come out, it does what that scripture above it says, that the life of Jesus is seen. And it pulls your body going in the right direction, right? It's being renewed day by day. Because it says our present troubles are small and they're not going to last very long. So whatever pressure the devil might try to put on you, it's small in the scheme of things. And it's not going to last very long. And you stand up against it and he's gone like that. He's such a weakling. You stand up against it, and you let the power on the inside. Look, he doesn't want to see the life of Jesus come out of you. That's his worst nightmare. Is a generation like you to learn that now? He's in big trouble. Because all he has on this generation is to get them to do what their flesh wants to do. But if there's a people that he can't do that to, he's in trouble. And I can tell you, he is in trouble. It says, these present troubles, says they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You may make one little simple decision. Maybe it's not so simple to not have a girlfriend. I'll just use that as an example. You may have an opportunity to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And maybe they said you were pretty or they said you were cool and it sounded kind of fun to have one because so-and-so has one. But you said, you know what? I'm not going to be under pressure to do that. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do, and I refuse to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever. This says here that will vastly outweigh that small little thing. The glory that your decision, that little decision to not do that, the glory in your life that will come because you made that decision will outweigh what you could have. You know what I'm trying to say? That decision may not even be that big of a deal, you know, when you look back on it. But the glory it produces on the inside of you, the power that little decision, and it might be something simple. It might be simple as telling your parents you did something wrong or turning off the TV when they told you not to watch a certain program and nobody's even in the house and nobody would even know, but you turned it off. The glory that little thing produces far outweighs some 30-minute program. Right? And it says it will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot even be seen. What are those? The secret things. We put our gaze on those secret things that the Word says the Lord's going to reveal to you, all those great plans He has. Little by little, we put our gaze on those. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we can't see, those secret things, are going to last forever. And that's the way we live our life. So look at chapter 5. I want to look at verse 4. It says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. Sometimes, you know what? Everybody else is doing such and such. Yeah. While we live in these bodies, sometimes you may groan and sigh. Or it may seem hard. This is so hard. It's not fair. That's all right. Because this is what it says. Verse 4. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of the bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. See, that's what's possible. That every decision you make, you swallow up your body with life. Does that make sense? Are these scriptures making sense together? Every little decision that you make, that's why little decisions are so important. Little decisions help you make the big decisions. Little absolutes. When your parents tell you something, every time they tell you, just in your mind say, okay, that's an absolute for me. I make my bed before I go to school. Whatever it is. I take out the trash every Tuesday night. I do my homework before I watch TV. That doesn't sound like a huge deal, but if you'll make those things absolutes, the bigger absolutes won't be a problem. You're good at it, and the power's already coming out of you. And the thing about God that I love, He's not into degrees. If you obey Him on something little, to Him it's as big as obeying Him on something big. So when you obey Him on some little something, He causes the life of God to come out of you at the same degree as if you obeyed Him on something super duper hard. You see what I'm saying? So He's causing you to get stronger and stronger. Now, in real life, you know, you lift weights and you lift the little one and it'll make a difference. But the bigger weights you get, the stronger you get. Well, with God, He's not into degrees. So you lift a little spiritual weight, you make a little good decision, it's going to make you as strong as if you made a big decision. Because the life of God is coming out of you. And the more you do the little ones, the easier the big ones are. To the point that maybe the big ones end up, when you get to be in high school and you're really making some tough decisions, they will hardly even feel like decisions. It will just feel like a natural way of life because you're so used to your spirit being in charge. And I'm not lying about that. It will be that way for you guys. And so it says, talking about swallowed up by life, God Himself has prepared us for this. Listen, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. as a guarantee that what I'm telling you, because I've only read to you from the Word and tried to explain it to you. He's the one that said all this about the life on the inside. Says it has a guarantee of that. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So you're guaranteed. So we're always confident. Even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, how easy it's going to be in heaven. But yet, God's given us a guarantee. We've got His Spirit, so He is always with us. Like He said in chapter 4, He's not going to abandon us. So we always have Him with us. Verse 9, whether we're here in this body or away from this body in heaven, our goal is to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for good or evil we've done in this earthly body. So what are we going to use our earthly bodies for? Good? Yes. We're going to use them to make glory for the Lord? Yes, I know that's what you're going to do. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. Look there. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. It says here, it says in verse 11, turn away from evil and do good if you want to enjoy life. And verse 13 says, now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. It says, keep your conscience clear in verse 16. And it says in verse 17, remember it is better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. You know what I got out of this? Sure, while we're going through this and you guys are making these decisions going through the next few years, it may sometimes feel like you're suffering. But if you suffer for doing what's right, God's going to reward you. If you suffer, if you do what's wrong, you're going to suffer with no help. With no reward, you're going to still suffer. And then ultimately, you're going to, at some point, to get things right, you're going to have to go God's way. But you could suffer with Him behind you, rewarding you. Right? Because I promise you, you'd rather suffer with the Lord behind you, get rewarding you, than suffer because you're going the devil's way. Because He really wants to make you suffer. And He doesn't want to reward you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And in verse 4, in chapter, of course, we've read this first part of chapter 4. I mean, if you suffer physically for Christ, you've finished with sin and you won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but be anxious to do what the Lord wants you to. And talks about in verse 4, your friends are surprised when you don't plunge into what they do. But look at verse 19. Where is it? So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you. I love this. Because if you're suffering for doing what He wants you to do, and you're trusting the plan that He's lined out for you, He will not fail you. You can have that as a guarantee. You know He's not going to fail you. You're going to be a success. So there's two choices, really your choice on what kind of suffering you want to do. Let's see, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This will really help you. Make this an absolute in your life, who you hang out with. That's going to really help you. You know, if your parents tell you don't hang out with somebody, just listen to them and cut that off, right? I've told y'all that before. But I love this. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. For a life of glory. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. So, how many of you want that? You want to be useful to the Master. Okay, well here's the way you do it. Run! Say run!
Run!
Did it say pray about? Think about? No, it says
run.
Do y'all know what that means? I know you do. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Run from anything that you sense is starting to put pressure on your flesh to go the wrong way. That can mean friends. That can mean television shows. That can mean the internet. You saw that guy. That's exactly what that guy was doing. He was running from girls, 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 right? He was running. You have to run from anything that's going to make you have pressure to go the wrong way. Instead, here's so it says, run from things that stimulate youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living. What does that mean? Psalm 101, right? Live that way. Make a decision. That's what I've lived right. Pursue faithfulness, pursue love, pursue peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So that says three things. Run from what? Youthful lust. Run to, pursue. So run to what? Righteous living. Love, peace, faithfulness. So run from youthful lust. Run to right, doing right. Doing things God's way. Run to the plan. Let's just say that. Run to the plan. Run with who? Huh? Yeah. Run with people that are pursuing a purity. Run with pure lifers. Don't hang out with... Well, isn't it more fun to run with somebody that's going in the same direction as you?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to run that way and holding on to somebody going this way? So run with people that are going in the same direction. I've got so many things here, but I want to... There's some absolute... Psalm 101, that is our absolute. Psalm 119 has some absolutes in it. 1 Corinthians 7:15 says, should you join your body with the... You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Should you join that? With a prostitute, do you know a prostitute is somebody that sells sex for money? And really that's a representation of selling yourself out to the devil. You join yourself to that with the body that belongs to Jesus? Never. That's an absolute. I don't do that. This is an absolute. This is the word of God. This is how we live our life, right? That's why we took such time to show you pure life in the Bible. The blessing in the Bible. I want to read something to you. Now, y'all have heard the prophecy from Brother Copeland, right? About this generation that would exchange their thoughts for God's thoughts. Now, I want to read to you a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave. Y'all know who Brother Hagin is? This was in 1989. That's a long time ago. Doesn't seem that long ago to me. But listen to this. There is a glory that's yet to be revealed. Isn't that what we keep hearing? What is it? What does it say? The glory will shine in 2009. We're not kidding. There's a glory that's about to be revealed. And Brother Hagin said there's a glory that's yet. In other words, it's coming. There's a power that's yet to be in operation. Now, I saw some awesome things in 1970s and 1980s. I saw some amazing miracles. How many of you have seen since then some amazing miracles? I have. But he said there is a power that's yet to be revealed. We haven't seen it yet. We see it here and speak of it a little bit here and there. And satisfied to stay where you are? Are you satisfied, he said, to stay where you are? Are you satisfied? Now, when he was saying this, I had been out of high school for 7 years. So I was like, around 25 years old. And he said, are you satisfied to stay where you are? Satisfied the way things are right now? Are you satisfied? He asked that like 6 times. Stir yourself up and be satisfied only with the dissatisfaction that has been satisfied again and again. So you get to a place and then you get dissatisfied with what you've got and you want more. And you feel satisfied and then you want more. He says, keep stirring yourself up. Now this was all these years ago. He said, this power, this glory is coming. Move on with me. And remember, he's talking to people. He really was talking all of your parents. We were all young people, younger people back then. And he was talking to us about stirring ourselves up and getting, we didn't know what we know today. My goodness, who knew back then? I had no idea what I know today. I had no idea I was doing things weird and dumb and not following the voice of the Lord. He was teaching us little by little. And everything he taught us, the Lord taught us from back then all the way to now, you guys know. It's taken us, it's taken me 45 years to know what you know now. And Brother Hagin was trying to teach us way back then. And I dare say you guys know some things he did not know back then. This is kind of hard to think about. So he was stirring us up. The Lord was stirring us all up. All your parents, he was stirring them up. The time is at hand. On the horizon of time, you see these things happening in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes, men's hearts being fearful. We see all that today. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice because redemption's coming. Something's changing. There's a work. There's a ministry that has to be accomplished. There's an army that must arise. There is an army that must arise. And walk, walk, walk in the realm of the Spirit and talk, talk, talk in the power of the Spirit and minister, minister, minister with the manifestation of the Spirit. Endowed and endued with power from on high. With the full equipment to stand in the office that you're called to. You guys, I know in my heart he's talking about you guys. Of course, I'm not going to miss out either. But he's talking about today. And he says here, you'll speak as the oracles of God. To speak and devils will tremble. To speak and nations will change. To speak and cities will be changed and the glory of God will be in manifestation. And your heart will have much cause for rejoicing. Now listen, this is the part I want to get to. Everybody, that sound good? Does that sound great?
Yes.
Okay, listen to what he says. And this is what sets you apart. Is because what he's saying here, you can live from day one. And most of us, we've had to clean up our lives to get to this place. But we're here with you. But you guys are different because you can have this from day one. Okay? Are you listening? This is what he says. But prepare your hearts. Lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets you. For they that bear the ark of the Lord. Guys, we talked about this the last few weeks. What is the ark of the Lord? What is the ark of the Lord? Remember, we talked about this. In the Old Testament, what was in the Ark of the Lord? You remember? We talked about the tabernacle, and we've been talking about it for several weeks. Who said it? Somebody over here said it. Say it really loud, John.
The presence of God.
He said, those that bear the Ark of the Lord must be clean. Now remember I said God had these things prepared? And he said that all this stuff that you have to put up with, it's so small compared to the glory of what he has for you. This is what he's talking about. They must be pure. Purify yourself by stopping, by refusing to walk further into sin, by refusing wrongdoing. And then coming to the fountain filled with the blood and be cleaned from the spots that have been left by the contamination of sin. See, you guys, I don't know, you might have a little bitty spot or something like that. You know, disobedience, things like that. Maybe you've done something. Maybe you've got a big spot. I don't know. It doesn't matter to the Lord. He's ready for you to get it clean no matter what it is. But you in your life could live clean and pure, and walk in this power stuff that he has for you. And he said, get clean Remember that these things are written not to sinners, but written to the church. He said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll reap. Walk on and the reaping day will come. That's where we're at right now. We're reaping. And I'm going to tell you, all of your parents are sitting here thinking, I have worked at my life. I have purified my life, worked at keeping junk out of my life. And my harvest is sitting right next to me. Isn't that the way you feel? I look at my kids and their pure life and I think, they are the harvest of what God has done in me. And the Lord says, you keep it up. You get clear because you're going to reap. And we're reaping you. You guys are our harvest. No pressure. He said, but judge yourself, and it's written, you will not be judged. I am preparing an army for these last days, and you have a part in that preparation. That was to your parents. We have a part. We had a part in the preparation of the army, didn't we? Mm-hmm. To me, this is so exciting. Mm-hmm. We are prepared an army. There are leaders that I'm preparing. And he said to me, you must stand in the forefront to direct them and lead them. And he's saying to you, will you be the one? For there are not only officers in the army of the Lord, but foot soldiers, and everyone is a soldier in the army of the Lord. He said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because these are the last days. And I just feel like, you know, your parents and us, we've worked so hard and diligently to prepare you. And yet, it's still your choice. And I believe that we've given you every reason to want pure life. I believe that we've given you every biblical scripture that we know of so far, and I'm sure there are more. I had more today, but I didn't do them. But it's still you that's going to be walking it out every day in the hallways at school, walking it out when you're home alone. But I'm telling you, you can do it. And I don't care what the devil throws at you or offers you, it's not worth it. Say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth not being in that army. It's not worth not living in that power. It's not worth not having the glory come out of you the way God intends for it to do. And I'm not talking about life same old, the way it was last year. I'm telling you, life is changing. Right. Things are changing. And you're a big part of it. Don't get left behind. Right? You know, if you have to tear your computer up, you know, or actually might be better. Your parents might prefer that you give it to them and say, take this. But I don't know. They might not mind you tearing it up if it's a problem for you. But if, whatever is a problem for you, you tell your parents. Do you hear me? You tell them. Amen?